Let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. I want to share something with you tonight. You probably already say, oh, well, we already knew that, but you need to be reminded. If you already knew it, well, then just chalk it up to how smart you are. Joshua chapter 1, I'm serious. I said this Sunday, and everybody kind of looked at me kind of funny, but I really feel like that after wrestling through everything we've been this year and just coming down to this, I realize the year's almost over, you know? And just coming down to this last, let's just say 30 days of 2012, I just really feel like I just keep hearing the Lord say over and over again, and maybe he's just saying it to me, and I'm just sharing it with y'all, but I think it's a good word for all of us, that we really need to just enjoy the rest of the year, just quit worrying, quit fretting, quit getting all in a tizzy, quit worrying about what the future holds, how bad this, what about this election, what about that, whatever, and we really need to just enjoy ourselves. Just need to enjoy ourselves. And, I've got such a great wife. You know, she's a big Christmas person. She's already got the 24-hour Christmas radio playing all the time, you know. I can't even believe there's that many Christmas songs. And, you know, I'm kind of the bah humbug. I'm kind of the Scrooge of the bunch, you know. And so I've been really working on that. Got the Christmas tree out. She brought it home, strapped on the hood of the car. I think this is the first Christmas that we've ever put a Christmas tree in the house that somewhere in the process, I didn't get mad when I throw the whole thing outside. I was really impressed. Praise God. Got it all cut off, put in the little deal, got the thing up. Big old pretty tree. Got lights on it. She had lights on today. I'm just trying to find every little thing I can to just bring joy. All right, and I really just believe, and I'm telling you what, there's all kinds of crazy things that's crashing all down me, and meteors are shooting at me, and everything else in the world, but it doesn't make any difference, because I just chose to just have some joy till January, and then January I'll get back in the fight. Yeah, well, that's a given, you know. You know what I'm saying? Just, we need to do that, and so, I'm reminded of some things I want to remind you. First one's here in Joshua chapter 1. And I think actually verse 7 is where we'll start. It says, Moses is speaking to Joshua, and Joshua's about to undertake a really big load of just, you know, people that were murmuring, griping, complaining, and then all the things that have gone on. Is about to be a changeover of leadership and all kinds of things taken on. He says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now go to verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The other day, we were sitting at the job site, and man, something just dawned on me that I had forgot, which is a pretty major, big thing. And I needed electricians to show up, and I didn't call them, didn't think about it, and they didn't know anything about it. And so I've chosen to have joy, you know, chosen to just think good things, and so. First thought was I wanted just to get up and kick the table, knock the chair over, just say, "Dad, gum, you know, I can't believe it." He said, "Whatever." How's this going to happen? Just go into a rant of, "Well, why is this going on? Why didn't this happen? What about this? What about that?" I mean, y'all don't do that, but you know, it happens to pastors sometimes. And so I just stopped and I said, "You know what, Jesus, this is your problem. You're just going to take care of it." That's all I said, and I just went on about my business. And in a minute, Joseph started laughing. He said, "Look at there." And the electricians drove up to the job site, unexpected. And I said to him, I says, "Why are y'all here?" They said, "Ah, we're supposed to go to another job, and then we thought about that we needed to come over here for something, but now we don't remember what we're here for." And I said, "Well, let me tell you why you're here, because I need you. Jesus sent you over here because you got to go do this and this." And really, we didn't know anything about that. I said, "No, I didn't tell you. But you got to go get it. We got to get it done now." Oh, okay. So they were there and everything got done, taken care of. Now, you know, it just amazed me because there was no huge amount of prayer involved in it. It was actually just, "Jesus, you can get bail me out of this one." All right. And I chose to make think right, chose to think good, chose to. What he told Joshua here is he says, "Look, you're going to have to meditate." And that word meditate means to murmur, means to speak it out of your mouth, say it over and over, to talk it out of your mouth. Don't say the negative. Don't talk the trash. Don't let the enemy trash talk you. Don't let, I mean, you may have just pulled off the biggest lulu that you've ever done in your life, but there's no sense sitting around telling yourself how stupid you are. You with me? Because even though it may be true that what you did was wrong, sitting around talking about it and telling yourself about it and cutting yourself down and beating yourself up, you ain't going to get nowhere. So he tells Joshua, he said, "Look, this is what you're going to do. Let me change the first line there. It says, this book of the law shall continually come out of your mouth." That's basically what it's saying. Just keep talking the right thing. Keep saying the right thing. Keep meditating, murmuring, rolling it around over and over and over, speaking it out of your mouth until it finally clicks and you get it. You with me? And then he says, "And then when you do all this, you observe to do all according to that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous." Didn't say God will, it says you will. "For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success." In other words, when you are thinking upon the right thing, then that means that you're going to start walking in the right course and the right steps and taking the right steps, and you're going to end up doing what's right. Y'all with me? All right? Now, let's go look at another verse. Let me find it here. Okay, let's go to Philippians 4. Another familiar passage of Scripture. Philippians 4, 6. It says, "Be anxious for nothing." That's a tough statement, isn't it? You know, when you look at something, some situation, you look at it and it's like, you know, it isn't right. And how to not be anxious over it. Y'all with me? But it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So, God wants us to not only talk His Word and not only meditate on His Word, but He wants us to do something about it. He wants us to pray to Him and speak what His Word says over that situation, right? If you haven't prayed about it, then you're going to be anxious. But you've got to let your request be made known to God. Now go to 7, please, Timothy. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ." So something happens when you're not anxious and you pray in faith, then peace comes, right? Okay, go to 8, excuse me. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." There it is again. Right? But you look how he puts it so general. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, he's not calling out specifics. Yeah, whatever things are lovely. I mean, that's pretty broad. Whatever things are lovely. So that's a pretty big realm that you can meditate on. Right? Chocolate cake. You don't necessarily have to eat it. You can just meditate on it. Said, I remember back in the day when I was young, had a metabolism. Oh, I could eat chocolate cake. Y'all with me? You can meditate on it. You don't have to go eat it, but you can meditate on it. It's a lovely thing. Y'all with me? Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these. Now go to 9. The things that you learned, you received, and you heard, and you saw in me, these things do, and what? The God of peace will be with you. So in other words, God doesn't, it just seems to me that God doesn't want to be around negative. Seems to me that the Holy Ghost just doesn't want to show up to a pity party. Am I right? I mean, is that what it's saying? Is that what it looks like? Looks like God's just like, okay, well, gosh, there they are again. No, you know he's there, and you know he loves you, and you know he'll be there at the mention of your name, but he just doesn't really want to sit. That's just not what is conducive for bringing the presence of God into your home, the changing your environment that you're in, and having the Spirit of God come in there and peace be in there if everything's negative and everything's bad. Y'all with me? Okay. Now go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. But I recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. That doesn't sound like fun. Go to 33. Partially while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. 34. For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. Don't like that one. Knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Okay. Now I'm going to just change a little bit. Something to meditate on. You ever just meditated on heaven? And you know, meditating on heaven is like... meditating on a food you've never eaten. Someone may have told you about it, you know, may have described it to you, whatever, but you hadn't really tasted it, and everybody says it's really good because, see, you only get to go to heaven, you know, like one time. Unless you're like the Apostle Paul, he went to heaven that way, okay, but otherwise, you're only going to heaven once, right? Okay, but I'm amazed at how many things in the Bible that the Bible talks about heaven. All right? How many times everything he's talking about. And he says here, he's talking to the Hebrews there. In Hebrews, he's talking there to the people. And he says, you know, back when he says you had the plundering of your goods, everything was bad, everything was whatever. He says, but knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. So he told them, look, quit thinking about what's happening to you here on earth and start thinking about heaven. Now, I don't know about y'all. You know, I know that I'm going to have to work my entire life unless something happens differently. I don't have a retirement. And so I don't look forward to retirement. One reason, because I don't have a retirement. The second reason is that I've found out that you have more joy in looking to my ultimate retirement. Because if I look to my temporal retirement, then it's like, well, what am I going to do? I don't know how to do anything but work, so what would I know what to do, right? I mean, I can only stay on the beach for so long. But he told them, look, you're having a hard time on earth, but you got to thank to heaven. Now, you always hear that old stupid saying, you know, well, they're more heavenly minded than they are earthly good. Well, that's stupid because I've never found anybody like that. Okay, I've just seen some goofy people before, but that doesn't. But he says there's something about if you meditate on heaven that it does something to you. All right? Let me, if I can see, I've got the smallest print in the world here in this Bible. Let me see if I can read this for you. This is my old, lost the cover on it. This is my old Dakes Bible. And I found in here 50 facts about heaven. Okay, let me just read this to you. I don't know. I'm not going to give you all the scriptures because, I mean, it'd take me all night just to give you all the scriptures on this thing, but just. Heaven is a created planet like Earth. It's a better country. It's the highest planet. These are each one are like 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a paradise, God's dwelling place. It's a heavenly country. Its location is the north part of the universe. Shape is round. Its size is unknown. It has mansions, temples, foundations, tabernacles, sanctuaries, the Ark of the Testament, has the golden altar, has the fire tongs, the thrones, books, swords, sickles, keys, chains, trumpets, bowls, tables, food, chariots, furniture, floors, rainbows, lightning, thunder, lamps, fountains of waters, rivers of waters, musical instruments. Thought about that one for you. Clothing, feast, drinks. Bread, roasted lamb, fruits, hidden manna, animals, stones, pillars, innumerable inhabitants, armies, trees, streets, mountains, all natural things that we have on earth, and things that are not lawful to utter. And every one of these, he's got scriptures for every one of these. And I was just sitting there, when you get to think about it, okay, when he gets to especially this one part where he starts talking about bowls, tables, foods, chariots, furnitures, floors, fountains, rivers, musical instruments, clothing, feasts, drinks, bread, lamb, fruits, hidden manna, animals, stones. I mean, that sounds pretty like something we got around here. Sounds like the country to me. Right? I mean, when I was reading through that and I was just looking at it, because I was just meditating on heaven, and I was like, man, that's so cool. And you start thinking about all the things that the Bible says that are in heaven. And I just, as I found myself, I just got this joy on the inside of me. It was like, this is so cool. This is where we're going to get to live forever. This is what it's really all about. This is, you know, while we're here on earth to populate heaven, tell everybody about Jesus, let people know about him so they can get saved so they can go to heaven with us. But our ultimate goal, our ultimate looking into the future, our ultimate retirement, our ultimate everything is going to heaven. And what it's going to be like in the presence of God? No more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death, no more getting old, no more getting up in the morning and you hurt. No more getting up in the morning and wonder why do you hurt? And what could you have possibly done to have caused that bruise? You know, it's just ridiculous. I'm not that old, but it is ridiculous. I mean, we're both looking at each other and say, what did you do? I don't know. Right? No more of that. I mean, just go worship God for about 1,000 years and go home. No more being anxious. No more time. Right? No more looking at the clock. See what time it is. See where we're going to go. And when you begin to meditate on the things of God, and you begin to meditate on heaven and what it's going to be like, it brings joy to you. Now go to, I think it's 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Go to 36. For you have a need of endurance. You have need of endurance. The only way to build endurance is you have to rest before you're going to get endurance. I believe in 2013 we're going to have some endurance. We can't go into 2013 tired. We got to have endurance. The only way you're going to get endurance is you're going to have to meditate on the Word of God and the things of God so that God can come into and refresh your soul and build your soul so that you can have endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So we got to have endurance to receive the promise. I think go to 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Go on to 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Now he's over here. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So he's saying, look, you're going to take your confidence in your faith and get some endurance. But in order to get endurance, you're going to be dwelling on the right thing because you have to have something from heaven deposited in you to refresh your soul to give you the endurance that you need to go forward in life. And we grow weary. I want y'all to start taking account of this. The next time you find yourself weary, and I'm not talking about you just went out and worked hard all day and you're tired. I'm talking about when you start to feel negative, take an account on what were you thinking on that day? What were you meditating on? What was the center focus of your attention? And if that center focus of your attention has been negative, that's what you've been meditating on, you're losing spiritual energy by doing that. The only way to do is renew yourself. The only way to renew yourself is to get yourself thinking right, speaking right, dwelling on the right things. There's no other way. You can't pray, oh, Jesus, just give me some strength and energy if you're going to keep dwelling on the negative. Because even if he did, you lost it. Right? So, we have to deal with things, so you deal with them in prayer. Deal with it in prayer. Then once you've dealt with it in prayer, start dwelling on the good. Start taking your confidence and living by faith. Amen? So then joy comes. Peace comes. Endurance comes. Then when the fight comes, you're ready. Amen? And I can tell you we're getting ready for a fight. So I want y'all fresh. So be happy. Amen? All right, we all got an assignment then. Praise God. Oh, my Lord. You'd think you got Satan on the end of the stick out there. But a fool says there's no God. So the last thing a fool wants is for anything to be pointing in the direction of a God. So right off the bat, if you want to know who's a fool, just find out who doesn't want God on the scene. Now, maybe I need to back up just a minute because I hear this argument in my head. You see, if you're looking on from the other side of the deal, say, no, it's not that we don't want y'all to have a nativity scene. It's just that we don't believe that government should have anything to do with putting a nativity scene up because then that's saying that government's for God. And I say, yeah,
That's what's wrong. Government's supposed to be for God. It's supposed to be in God we trust. Well, but we need to be free for everyone to come in. Yeah, come on in. Come on in to America. Come on in and live in this great land that we live. But this is a Christian nation based upon the founding fathers who were Christians. And we've turned to God and looked to God, and that's why America works. Okay, so that's where I'm coming from. So if you say, well, that's what's wrong with you, thank God that's what's wrong with me. All right? So, I love this one. It's from the Good News Translation. It's Proverbs 26:3. It says, you have to whip a horse, and you have to bridle a donkey, and you have to beat a fool. I just had to throw that one in there. Yeah, that's the New King James Version. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. I don't know. I don't have anything to say else but that. I like this one, too, out of the Good News Translations, Psalms 14:1. It says it a little bit differently. It's what I just read a while ago. A fool says, there is no God. They are all corrupt. They have done terrible things. There is none who does what is right. A fool says to themselves, there is no God. A fool says to themselves. Nobody told him there wasn't a God, but a fool said to himself, you know, there ain't no God. The problem with fools is fools always reason in their own heart without taking any proper information to know what's right and what's wrong. You know, you sit there and you tell yourself that piece of white paper is black, and you tell yourself long enough that, you know, you'll finally convince yourself of it. But if you go ask two or three, the Bible says, take the counsel of many if you want wisdom, you know. But a fool always says to themselves, you see, fools want to talk to themselves. Fools agree with themselves. And listen to me, you're in trouble if you're only agreeing with yourself. You have to know that what yourself is thinking lines up with something. Right? Okay. Proverbs 17:16 says, it does a fool no good to spend money on an education because he has no common sense. I like that one too. Put that one up there. Proverbs 17:16. Let's see what the other translation says on it. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom since he has no heart for it? But I just love the way this one has. It says, it does a fool no good to spend money on an education because he has no common sense. Here's another one out of the Good News Translation. It's Proverbs 14:8. It says, why is a clever person wise? Because he knows what to do. Why is a stupid person foolish? Because he only thinks he knows. Because he only thinks he knows. Man, I'm telling you what, I was having fun with this one. A fool tells himself what's right. This is a quote from Robert Richards. A fool tells himself what's right. They don't care what common sense says or what sound wisdom is. A fool just says, oh, well, this is right. I heard the other day a person giving a definition of liberty, and I was really shocked. Because to me, liberty is the freedom to be able to live your life the way you choose to live your life without any external forces coming in to tell you that what you have to do. I mean, I'm just putting that kind of... But their definition of liberty was, oh, no. It's for all people to be accepting to everything that everybody else wants to do. And I'm like, wow, that's a scary thought. Because where I tell you what's happening and where we're going is somebody eventually is going to get it down to where they can marry their dog. And I'll have to perform human dog weddings or something. Some of y'all are saying, I went to a wedding like that for you. I'm telling you, people are crazy. I watched a deal the other day. I couldn't believe it. I had to just worry about this man who is a professor, a highly educated man, but that his
every day he went out on the road to find whatever's run over, and that's what he cooked and ate. He had all the money in the world. He was a professor in school, but he ate roadkill because he felt like he was giving back to society, giving back to the environment, that animal did not just rot and that he used it for food, and therefore it in the chain of life, it all went back. And I was like, well, what about buzzards? They got to eat. I mean, you're not thinking too much. You're a professor. You didn't think, what about the buzzards? Somebody got to eat. Worms got to eat. And he had this run-over badger. I'm not joking to you. I saw it. He had this run-over badger that he had cooked up and was eating this badger. And I was like, dude, your education has made you mad. But they just tell themselves what's right. Okay? Fools don't listen to reasons. They don't listen to reasons. Now, I want to say this statement, and then I'll clarify this all at the end. Fools don't make it to heaven. They don't make it to heaven because they say there is no God. All right? The second thing that this present evil age is trying to get you to do, to go to the deer feeder, first thing is to become a fool. The second thing is to become a liar. Proverbs 19, 8 and 9 says, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. And he who keeps understanding will find good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. What he wants to do is when you enter into the realm of being a fool, the next thing that's going to happen to you is going to cause you to compromise what you really believe is true, and therefore it's going to cause you to have to be a liar. Okay? So when you get to go into the deer feeder, you get to eating all the corn, and you get hooked on that corn, I want to tell you something. Then, you know what happens? You start to become a fool, and on your road to being a fool, you become a liar. Look at John chapter 8, verse 44. Let me clarify this. John 8, 44 says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you wanted to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Have y'all noticed the things going on that is even being evident in the news today? How many things are just absolutely bald-faced lies? And nobody will call anybody and stand up and just say, you're a stinking liar. I mean, it's like I'm sitting there watching thinking, does no one have any sense? How is this just getting brushed over? And how is this just getting overlooked? Where is honesty and integrity? I want to tell you what's happening. You're seeing the darkness of this present evil age, the delusion of becoming fools going over the hearts of people. And the delusion is going over them to where they're just like, oh, well, you know, it's not really. He didn't really lie. Maybe he misspoke, but he didn't lie. Are y'all with me? We got things going on today that people would have been impeached years ago in a huge scandal. And yet it just keeps going. Why? Because of the delusion. You got to understand this. Don't just sit here. Don't sit back and let yourself be fooled and think, well, everything's going to be okay. You know, it's going to change. No, folks, this is the present evil age. It's coming upon us. It's been here forever, it's growing strong, and it's all focused upon America right now because it's got to get rid of us, this remnant, this rebellious people. It's got to get rid of us because we stand in the way. We're the strainer in the pipe that stands in the way of darkness doing whatever darkness wants to do. And as long as we're standing right here, dadgum Christians are just in the way. And these ones that won't give up, I mean, we got to do something about them. I mean, the discussions going on in hell right now is just exactly that. We've got to get them out of the way. We've got them on the run. Let's get them, boys. Don't be deceived. Do not think this is about politics. Politics is a cover. Politics is just the thing that they're using, that the devil is using. It's about good and light. It's about darkness and light, and good and evil. You say, are you calling those people? No, I'm just saying they're fools. They're listening to the bait that Satan's throwing out there. They've been eating under the corn feeder so long, they're just hooked on corn. Do you know corn really doesn't do a deer any good? Do you know, it's so funny, we feed corn to all the animals, but do you know that corn seed, unless it's cracked and ground and mixed with other things, it doesn't do any animal any good? Corn goes in one ear, one way, and comes back out the same. Has to be processed. Has to be ground up. That's why you have grinders. That's why you mix feed. Amen? I'm preaching right, Armour. Y'all agree with me here? So give me some head shakes. Right? So you feed them along, you bait them along until you can get them in their sights. Okay? And what happens is that it wants to take a fool, and a fool just becomes a liar. Because then he's got to promote the foolishness that he's believing. And if you're standing in the light and you're seeing it, you're like, what? That's a lie. And they're like, no, no, no. You might have misspoke a little bit. I didn't mean to lie. Folks, I'm telling you, you can't reason with that. You can rebuke it, but you can't reason with it. I wrote this down. I said, liars are fools that have spoken to themselves so long that they are deceived and can no longer speak truth. Okay? Liars are fools that have spoken to themselves so long that they're deceived and they cannot speak truth anymore. Okay? So you say, man, that's not the truth. And you're arguing with this person. You're thinking, how can you do that? I tell you how they can do that. Because they've been a fool so long speaking to themselves, they've deceived themselves. And folks, you're not dealing with just the rational mind. You're dealing with deception. And then I want to make this statement, and I'll clarify this all at the end. Liars don't make it to heaven. The third one here, thieves. Fools, liars, and thieves. John chapter 10, verse 8 through 10. Jesus is speaking. He says, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep, they did not hear them. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and they might have life more abundantly. When Jesus is speaking that, he is talking about the religious people of the day. He's talking about the people that are preaching the word, the religious people of the day, that what they're telling the people. He said, look, they're telling them lies. They're actually stealing from the people. They're stealing their joy. They're stealing their peace. They're stealing what really heaven will do for them if they would operate in the right principle. They're stealing it. Folks, listen to me. The darkness wants to steal from you. They're thieves because they want to steal what truly brings you joy. And that's your worship unto your God in liberty. They want to steal it. What's going on now in the present evil age wants to steal from you. They're thieves. They're thieves. In Luke chapter 19, verse 45 and 46, Jesus is talking about Jesus. Then he went into the temple and began to drive those out who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Folks, I'm really concerned about the religious community. I'm really concerned about what's going to happen shortly, which I believe will happen within a year, of what churches are really going to do. Because It's the duty of the church to preach the gospel. I preach and believe a good old-fashioned gospel that people need to repent and come to Jesus, give their lives to Him and be saved, and secure their place in heaven. It's pretty simple. That's what I believe. A good old-fashioned gospel. Give me that old-time religion. I believe we got to get in this day and time, we have to be very simple on what we do believe. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Heavenly Father. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe the Word of God is true. I believe you can't take from it. I believe you can't dilute it. I believe the Word is life-giving. You have to know what you believe, church, because fools, liars, and thieves will want to steal from you and get you to compromise your belief. There's a few things I learned in the world. Number one is, if you're going in a fight, you better not show fear. You better not show fear. Because there's something about the other person that can smell fear. And when you smell fear, then you better go for it, because you're going to win. The only way to win a fight is to stand boldly up in the middle of it and know what you're standing for. And saying, I'm standing here and you're going to have to deal with me. I'm not backing off. I know what I believe. I know that what I believe is true, and I'm not compromising. I'm not giving up a bit. And I'm concerned that our religious world here in America is going to cater, is going to bow, is going to crumble, because they're not going to stick to an old-time gospel. They're going to bow to the knee of government in order to keep everything that they have. I believe it. We'll see. See if I'm right or not. And I believe that all of us are going to make a hard choice. I believe in 2013, you're going to make more hard choices than you've ever made before. All right? I believe that on one hand, things are going to look really good, but on the other hand, it's going to be forcing you to compromise. I believe that what Jesus just said there, that people have made His house a den of thieves, and they're stealing from the people and preaching fluff and preaching everything will be okay, don't worry about it. But I'm not going to. I can't. I've got to tell y'all what I believe is the truth, and when the day comes that I think we need to stand at the doors and fight, well, I'll be the first one standing in front of you. But I believe we got to fight for what's ours. I know the best way, I think, to deal with thieves. That's all I need to say. I wrote this down. It says, thieves are fools that have no way to control life but to take away from it. Thieves are fools that have no way to control life but to take away from it. Thieves don't just steal from others, they steal from themselves too. That's the stupid thing about thieves. What they don't understand is there's a lot of people out there in the world caught up in the deception, preaching the deception, that they don't realize that they're cutting their own throat. My last thing about thieves is the same as I said about the other two. Thieves don't make it to heaven. You say, well, how do you get that, Pastor? Well, go to Revelations chapter 21, verse 7. Revelations 21, 7. It says, and he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I've always been amazed at that scripture, because right there it says in when he starts to list them, it says the cowardly. And that's where I want to end this message right there. Folks, I want to tell you something. Today is not a day for us to be cowards. Today is not a day for us to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today is not a day for us to be ashamed of standing for righteousness and what is right. Today is not a day for backing up and wanting to hide our Bible. To say, well, you know, go ahead, do whatever you want to. Today's not a day to be a coward. In the next 4 years, you're going to be challenged more in your faith than you have ever believed to be true. Today is a day that we need to get rooted and grounded in what the Word of God says. We need to get rooted and grounded in our faith. We need to get rooted and grounded in what is going on. Today is a day that we need to be strong and we'll be able to tell others, listen, this is what I know to be true. How many of y'all have seen the old movie, The Alamo, the one that has John Wayne in it? If you haven't, shame on you. There's one part in the movie that everybody should have to see. We should be rehearsed over and over again. Is where they're about. They know it's the last day. They know they're about to get overtaken. And the old Tennessee guy standing there and everybody's saying, I don't believe there's a God. Every time when you're just going to die, we're just food for the worms. And the old man stands up and then there's that scene and the camera's just right. And he says, I know one thing. I believe with all of my heart that there is a hereafter. And I'm like, that scene, just every time I see it, I'm just like, yeah, I stand up. Most people shout for like football games and things like that. I shout for movies like that. Yeah. And now's the day and time that we put our foot down, and when all of foolishness is being talked around us, we stand there and we say, no. You know, I believe in an old-fashioned gospel. I believe the Bible's true. I believe Jesus is real. I believe you better watch out because you've been eating under the feeder too long and you're going to get shot. Matter of fact, I think I can see a red dot on your head right there, about to take you out. And all I can assure you is that myself and my family will stand. I'm not bowing my knee to anything. I'm not bowing my knee to any person on this earth. I bow my knee to Jesus, and that's it. I can't tell you everything that's going to happen because I don't know everything that's going to happen. But I know I'm smart enough to go back into history and look and see what has happened and can tell you that it's going to go down the same way. That I can tell you. And so, if they put a little more corn in the feeder and start throwing out twice as much, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. I'm not eating their corn. Watch out. Watch out. Amen. So I know you're going to do it. We're going to be strong. We're going to face the opposition that comes. But this is the thing I want to tell you. Okay? You probably have never heard this from a preacher's mouth. Being that this is Thanksgiving, we just finished Thanksgiving. We all ate and we're with family and everything was good. I really believe that it's the Lord for me to tell y'all that you need to have a good Christmas. Just listen to this. I believe now is the time to catch your breath because we got a fight coming in January. I believe that you need to enjoy yourself right now. Listen, no matter what, I just want you to know, I love this fight because no matter what, I win. I win. There's no way. Shoot me, whoo, I'll go to heaven. You know what I'm saying? I win. If things really go real bad, you know, the next thing you know, the Antichrist is here. Rapture's going to take place. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. No matter what, I know where I'm headed. So I'm going to win. But You can get weary and tired in your soul. And now's the time I want to tell you, you need to just kick your feet up a little bit. You need to enjoy the presence of God. You need to enjoy your family. You need to enjoy your friends. You need to just catch your breath. Don't give up. Catch your breath, because there's going to be a fight come January. Now, I do want to say this. I want to tell you something, and I want to start announcing a little bit more and get y'all to help me. But, you know, in 2008, I guess is when we started the Phineas Project. And we were fighting for what I call, I preached a message on the Phineas and who Phineas was in the Bible and whatever, and we called it the Phineas Project. And we were really fighting for abortion at that time. And it took us a while with Maggie, but we won, didn't we? And we're going to have to revive that program, because the only thing that I see that can really help us along is we have to keep Texas strong. Thank God you live in Texas. And we have to keep Texas strong. And we're coming in to this year of 2013 as a legislative session, and I'm going to be calling on y'all. We're going to go knock down some doors. We're going to knock on some doors. We're going to scream and holler that everybody knows what's going on and how we feel here in Central and South Texas. And I learned one thing then about politics. Politicians only listen to one thing. How many people are behind you? They don't really listen to dollars. It's kind of funny. You have to get really up into the big money before they'll start listening to dollars. Dollars don't impress them. People and votes scare them. And at that time, we ended up with about, 300-400 people that signed up for the Phineas Project. And then that was kind of the limit. It died off. And I'm going to need y'all to help me, because we're going to need to get every email address, every person that you know, and use all of y'all's too to push this thing to get it, because we need as many people behind us as we possibly can get. And we have to go to our Texas legislator, and we have to sit down, and we have to scream so loud that somebody's going to listen to us. And so I intend on doing that. If I got to go every week to Austin till they get so sick of seeing my face, I don't care what I got to do, but we've got to do it. Okay, we have to still play our part. So we got a lot of work ahead of us. So my word to you is, enjoy your December. Have a good Christmas. Go get a big Christmas tree. Put up some lights. Read your Bible a little bit more. Have a little bit, play some good old Silent Night in your house and enjoy the presence of God. You with me? Go ahead and just, you know, getting ready for the fight. I'm kind of get rested up, stretched up. You know, as I've gotten older in life, the one thing I've noticed, I always wondered why little old men hobble around so much and shuffle. It's because all your muscles just turn to rock or something. It's the darndest thing I've ever seen. I wake up in the morning, it takes me forever to get stretched out. I mean, if something jumped in the room and tried to chase me, might as well just eat me, man. I ain't going to be able to get up. It's like, oh, God, what is it? So it's kind of like that. So we need to take this month and a half, whatever we got left, or, you know, and kind of get your muscles worked out. Get all limbered up, because come January, we're going to fight. Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet. Look at the person beside you and say, man, I love a good fight. Can I have my prayer team come down, my pastoral team? Listen, if you're here today and you need prayer, we're here for you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, oh my goodness, do not walk out that door until you come down here and talk to one of these people. You need to know Jesus today. He's the answer for everything. Amen? So look to the person on your left and then look to the person right and say, hey, you know Jesus? If you're not sure, come on down. But listen to me, we're here to pray with you. We're here to just be here and to believe God of miracles is going to move in your life. Amen? And I'm telling you, church, though I may have painted a bleak future, I'm telling you it's going to be a good one, because we'll have some fun. We'll have some fun. I like a good fight. And I got to tell you all this. You may be going to the wrong church if what I'm saying scares you, but don't. It's in my destiny. I'm telling you, it's hard to understand, but it's in my destiny. God made me a fighter. I don't understand why my parents are godly people. Love, they never put me outside and made me box or chase me around the house with a bat or nothing. They love me, and I don't know how I ended up like this other than the destiny of God. But I can still remember in the first grade, my friends were playing, and we had a new kid, and one of the friends was playing with a little blue airplane. I can still remember like it was yesterday. And the bully came up and pushed him to the ground, knocked him in the dirt, and took that blue airplane. And I don't even remember thinking about what I was doing. I just went right over there and busted that kid's nose, took that airplane back, gave it to my friend. Horrible thing. I was just a first grader. What was in me? I mean, it wasn't like I was a crazy, repressed, horrible child. I had a great childhood. But I just don't like to see an underdog getting beat. And I don't like, I'm just going to fight. And so I'm just telling you, we're going to have some fun. It's going to be good. And we're going to win. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, take that person's hand beside you. And Father, I just declare right now in the name of Jesus, I just pray over this whole congregation, Lord, that this whole month of going into Christmas and celebrating your birth, this is a great time for us all, Lord. That there's just blessings, that there's refreshing, that there's excitement, that there's joy. And Lord, we just get refreshed and stirred down in our souls. Because Jesus, come the time that we need to, we're going to fight. We're going to fight for what's right. We're going to fight for you, Jesus. And we all bow our knee to no one but you. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for your power, Lord, and the privilege to serve you. So Lord, bless them as we go. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.